Sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS-FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
Hello and welcome. This is my favorite time of year, Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for as Canadians. With me today is Todd Doherty. He's joining me from back east over the telephone. He's our Member of Parliament. Todd, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to answer some questions and share some highlights and insights with us.
Thanks, Deb. I'm actually en route back home. Just a brief stopover in a connecting airport, and looking forward to be back home with my family and friends for Thanksgiving.
So you're traveling right now. You're on the road across the country.
Literally sitting in a public area within one of Canada's largest airports, just in a corner.
Trying
not to disturb folks around me.
Well, your life is lived in the public, whether it's on a radio interview or at home. So we're proud of you. So what was your life before politics? Let's talk about you personally for a few minutes.
Well, life before politics was, almost 20 plus years in aviation trade. And I'm very honored to be part of the management team that transferred the Prince George Airport, which was one of the last NAS airports to transfer. NAS meaning National Airport System airports in Canada to transfer. We built a solid business case and then proceeded to, redevelop the airport into, what potentially could be a Trans-Pacific cargo hub for setting Canada up and Northern British Columbia up as a transportation hub. I traveled all over the world and spent a lot of time away from home and from our family, and which means I cherish times in between where you're home with the kids and home with the family and home with friends. As many people know from CFIS, that also was part of the Prince George Spruce Kings, both as the president of the organization. Kind of went through, you almost do everything with when you're part of a great organization like that. And as well did color and called some of the games on CFIS.
Oh, good deal.
Yeah. So, just always been involved in our community. Both my wife and I grew up both in Prince George and Williams Lake, and my wife's family almost 200 years in Williams Lake.
You make your wife sound quite old, Todd.
No, my wife's family, not her.
Got it.
We are business owners in Prince George, have been since early days, just very proud to be from our region. I tell everybody, I spent a lifetime on the world stage promoting our region, and all that there is to offer it all over the world. Well, one day I may be in Berlin, the next day I might have been in Hong Kong or Beijing or Dubai. My job was to really tell the world about the great opportunity we had to work, live, play, invest, and learn in our region.
We have the hidden treasure here.
We do. Yes. Sometimes we don't want to tell everybody.
Kind of have mixed feelings about you traveling the world and telling them about our beautiful spot.
I know.
Would you talk to us about your involvement with Veteran Affairs, please?
Yeah, I'm not really so much involved with Veterans Affairs. I did table a bill. As many people know, I sought the nomination for this for the third party in 2014, and secured it, and then went into the election in 2015. But along that path, I started building the framework for a permanent members bill called with respect to post-traumatic stress disorder, as it pertains to our veterans, our first responders, and our military, their service to our country and to our community. They see and experience human tragedy every day. And these are the brave men and women that put on their uniforms every day and know that they may themselves have to pay the ultimate sacrifice. And along the way, they see, hear, experience human tragedy. There's a study that says that the average first responder, be it a paramedic, be it a police officer, be it a firefighter, over the course of their career, they will experience over 900 traumatic events.
Wow.
When the average human may only experience a handful. Can you imagine 900 traumatic events? We're now only beginning to understand what the term PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder. And so I wanted to try to put a piece of legislation together that would holistically look at how we as a nation deal with the impacts of this human tragedy. How do we deal with post-traumatic stress disorder provincially, federally, regionally? How do we deal with it with respect to, let's say, an RCMP serving on the East Coast and an RCMP serving on the West Coast? Can they receive the same treatment for mental health injuries that they receive over the course of their career? And the answer really was no. There was some good work that was being done in different areas, but there's no holistic approach, no consistent even terminology. So you might call somebody a first responder, or are they a public safety officer? Who's classified as a first responder? Is it a post-traumatic stress disorder, or is it a post-traumatic stress injury, or is it a OSI, which is an occupational stress injury? So even in the terminology, they were different. It was inconsistent. There's inconsistencies in the diagnosis and treatment, and inconsistencies from one province to the other in terms of who was covered and what was covered. And so we see it every day, Deb. We can't open up the newspaper or the social media or turn on the 6 o'clock news without hearing the story about yet another first responder committing suicide or a veteran that has committed suicide. And so my hopes were whether, if I was elected in 2015, that I would be able to put forth a piece of legislation that, maybe we can change that. Maybe we can save some lives. And I was fortunate enough when I was elected, when I got to Ottawa, I brought forth my backgrounder for this piece of legislation, and I tabled it in January 2016. And, a lot of work went into the 2 years leading up to June of this year, June 21st of this year. We managed to have our bill passed. It is now law, and Canada is now the first country in the world to adopt a national piece of legislation aimed at developing a framework to combat post-traumatic stress disorder for veterans, our first responders in the military.
I think that's a tremendous accomplishment.
It's huge, but I tell everybody this. Until, I got a text message today of another suicide. Until those messages stop, all we've done is really just create hope. We have to do whatever we can, and it truly is a. I speak at conferences all over the place now, and on this topic, it is absolutely heartbreaking that we are unable to stem the tide of suicide. And I take that even beyond our first responders and our veterans in the military. In our First Nations communities, we have some kids, as young as 4 that are choosing death over life. And, in my previous life, well, a long time ago, I don't want to date myself, but in the 80s, I taught crisis intervention and suicide prevention for at-risk, to at-risk youth and at-risk adults, young adults. And I set up, I worked with in schools to try and talk about suicide and to give people, give these kids and the next generation the tools to be able to, identify if their friends are having challenges, so that we can intervene and stop before somebody makes that decision and actually, you know, commit suicide. And here we are so many years later, we still have that epidemic. And, you know, I know we had a suicide of a young man in Prince George just last week, or earlier this week. And, you know, a friend of mine is being buried today that I grew up with. His service is today, and I grew up with him in Williams Lake. And he was a firefighter for 17 years. And, you know, and he committed suicide, you know, just 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it is absolutely heartbreaking, the messages and the conversations I have with people that are still hurting, that are hurting in the shadows, that can't come forward for fear of being seen as weak, for fear of being, you know, marked or not believed. You know, and I hear a lot from families that are left behind to pick up the pieces.
Yes.
You know, and the question always remains: Why has this happened?
Yes.
And I don't have the answers. I wish I had the answers. You know, a person contacted me last week, and he himself is a 30-year firefighter, and he said, "Todd, he goes, when is thoughts and prayers are not enough? Like, you know, when is it enough? Like enough's enough," type is what he was saying. He goes, "Why does it have to get to this point where somebody has to be a statistic for somebody to stand for and stand up and recognize that?" He himself is diagnosed as having a PTSD 18 months ago. And he said, not one person from his leadership team or even his union has showed up to say, you know, or check in on him and say how he's doing. You know, he goes, "If I had had a broken bone or I had been injured, you know, from a fire or whatever, you know, you'd have people that were bring your fruit basket to come and see you and tell you that anything you need. But if you all of a sudden you're claiming that you have a mental health injury or you've got a mental health injury, you know, you're seeing it, people stay away from you until you become a statistic, and then all of a sudden the thoughts and prayers come out." And he says, "And that's when they'll have the honor guards and all the leaders will come forth and say that he was a great firefighter." And he goes, yet here I sit, 18 months, and not one person has come to see me." Hmm. And he goes, "It's just a statement. Like, it's just shameful."
It is. What you're saying is a very loud, or at least it ought to be a very loud wake-up call for all of us as Canadians, because we all know people who are suffering through mental health challenges.